this is Jeff Seymour, and welcome to the podcast. Today, I'm going to discuss the bullshit myth of getting into character. Ooh, such strong language. I'll explain. You know, before I get started, I want to recommend two books for you to look at. You can order them on Amazon. The first book, and I don't know if I've done this, you know, this is my 81st podcast, so I can't remember and I don't have the energy to go through and see, but it bears repeating. Pick up The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield. It's a beautiful read. It is so inspirational. I don't care what it is you do, what facet of the arts, or really athlete, anything that in life that you want to get done and you feel a resistance to get it done, like you can't seem to get it done. Stephen's book is a beautiful book. The second book I'm going to recommend is a book called The Real Life Actor. Yeah, I wrote it. You know, it's funny. I do these podcasts and I guess I never really talk about it. And then I'll be communicating with someone who's aware of the podcasts, and then they'll be shocked to hear that I've written a book. I know books are old-fashioned. I know how it is. You know, you have to open it, and then you read a page, and then you turn the page, and it's like, you know, Groundhog Day. There's like a whole nother page. And I'll be honest with you, there's no pictures in my book, and I know for a fact there are no pictures in Stephen's book. So you would actually have to read all the pages. But for those of you that want to go old school and actually read a book and have it and hold it in your hand, or if you want to completely cheap out and do a Kindle thing, go ahead. But for those of you that want to take the time to do that, I would be remiss not to mention, Stephen's book, but certainly my book, and I never do, so I'm doing it now. If you like these podcasts, then, you know, the book I did before the podcasts, and that would be the culmination of, I don't know, at that time, 34 years of teaching. And I tried really, really, really hard, and I focused really, really, really hard. And I think it's, you know, certainly well worth your page turning. So when we're finished with this podcast, why don't you just get right on Amazon and order up both of those books. And if you don't like either of those books, well, then you just send me a nasty letter, and I swear to you, I'll read the whole thing. I won't delete it until I finished it. Okay, listen, you know, the other day, I was Skyping with a lovely young fellow in San Diego, and he's been primarily a successful musician, but, you know, he loves the acting thing and he wants to pursue it. And I asked him about his past, and he told me that, you know, one of the problems he had before the auditions was that, you know, that pesky thing of getting into character. So, of course, I stopped him right there and I, you know, lambasted him about never using that kind of terminology. And so I wanted to talk about it a little bit because it really kind of embodies my whole problem with traditional acting and the silliness. I don't want to say stupidity. It's not stupid. It's just silly. It's just silly. This whole idea, this whole romantic notion, you see, and everyone struggles with it, and they try so hard to get into character. I guess that's where it all stems from, right? You got to figure out your character, so that's why you got to know what you ate in the morning and what kind of underwear you have on, and, you know, did you take a bath, or would you rather take showers, or, you know, what kind of, you know, cereal you eat. And then this builds your character, and then I guess when you get enough of this information, you become the character. And then I guess what the cool part is then, I guess, about, you know, getting into character is that when you get in the character, then the character takes over and just does it all really groovy. You know, knows exactly how to say your lines and just every little tick and tell and the way you are and the way you move and everything. It's just like the character. You just, well, I mean, you've become the character. I mean, it's fascinating. It would be, I assume it would be like watching a, I don't know, what, a caterpillar turn into a butterfly or something, or I don't know, what, a dead fish come back to life or something. Let's talk about why that's completely silly. How does that work again? What happens? You get so much information about, like, you know, the particulars about your character and attitudes and rhythms and, I don't know, belief system and the way you walk and the kind of clothes you wear, that when you put it all together, then you just, is it a trance? How do you get into character? Somebody needs to tell me. Because I never figured it out. You know, I spent my life working on this stuff. I never, not without, of course, taking some sort of drugs or some sort of alcohol. I don't know how you get into that character. I don't know how you do that. I mean, I'm assuming it's not a seizure. You don't have a seizure. It's not like some sort of artistic seizure that you have and all of a sudden, and then you, no, it's not. I know I was having this discussion with another actor, and they said, yeah, but, you know, what I heard is that Daniel Day-Lewis, like when he did, you know, Lincoln, he, like, stayed in character the whole day, and, you know, and he didn't want to be called Daniel or whatever. And, you know, all of these things I feel are always just folklore, unless you were there, you know. I mean, you actually were there. But let's assume that's true. I mean, I've heard that he stays in his thing. And he obviously, and I'm picking on Daniel Day-Lewis, and I think it's a good one to talk about because he would epitomize that concept of being in character, right? Without a doubt. I mean, I don't know who else you'd point to. He'd certainly be up there at the top of the food chart. So let's just go with Daniel Day-Lewis, and let's talk about Lincoln, since it was the last one. And it did have a lot to it, right? He spoke in this Tennessee accent in this at this register that was different from his own, and certainly, you know, the way he walked and did everything, you know, typical Daniel Day. He's brilliant. He's like a truly kind of a genius of this type of thing. You could call it mimicry, you know, but it's really he's amazing at it. Just like there are great pianists and violinists, and it wasn't just their training. They were born with something. My belief is Daniel Day was born with a set of gifts for this, you know. Okay, so let's talk about it. He's in character. Well, first of all, the fact that he would sit around all day and just want to speak in that accent, it's unlike his own accent, you know. And I'm sure the professional in him would just say, look, let me just do this. You know, I did an episode of Homeland, and Damian Lewis, when I met him, he was speaking in his American accent, and I forgot that he was English. And by the time that then he started speaking, I don't know what it was, a week in or something, I finally heard him talking with his English accent for some reason. I don't know why he was that day, because he never did any time I was around. All of a sudden, there he was. It sounded so phony to me. He sounded like a character out of Mary Poppins. I mean, I went up, I said, what is that? What are you doing? That sounds so fake. And I realized that, of course, this was his real accent, but to have been introduced to him with the American accent first, it was, I had to get my mind around that. What am I saying? Well, I think a lot of actors that have to, you know, have an accent. It's not just an accent. It's the rhythm. It's everything. You know, when you're at work and you're on the set, why wouldn't you just use it all the time? I mean, it certainly wouldn't mean that you were staying in character. I think you were just staying in accent. But how about this business of, you know, Daniel Day taking it a step further, and he, you know, he wants to be addressed as Mr. President, and you know, I, okay, well, look, first of all, I can't imagine that in between setups or scenes, you know, he doesn't just go and be by himself. I don't think they drive him over to the Lincoln Memorial, and then he walks around going, ah, oh, Abe Lincoln, you know, I think he's pretty quiet. So how much of this, you know, in his character does he do? What, he sits in his trailer and, you know, he keeps his stovepipe hat on or something? What? And what about being in character, even being in character on set? Boy, I think that, again, I would have to use him as the benchmark. I mean, this guy really is very convincing in everything he does. I think if you're going to say, hey, getting into character and staying in character, there he is. But is he really? Because you know that while he's being Lincoln and all, he's just looking at modern-day society when he looks toward the camera. And crazy modern-day society with cables and lights and people and headsets and all sorts of rigmarole. There would be no way for Abe to reconcile that image, yeah? So then what are we saying? He's in character. You see, he's in character, but he understands who Steven Spielberg is, and he knows that even though he's the president of the United States, that when Steven Spielberg says cut, that means stop talking, and he will abide by those rules. So what is the character again? Let me tell you what it feels like to me it is. It feels like he's come up with this brilliant accent. He understands what the dilemma and what the situation, the problem, you know, what was going on in every scene. He made his choices on how he would deal with them primarily based in history. But as far as the nuance went, you know, he just made great guesses at what he felt Lincoln would be like, what his attitude would be like, a lot based in history, but then his own little artistic brushstroke. That's what he does. He's an actor. Is he in character? Is that what happens? No, I think he's got to be at the wheel the whole time. I think Daniel Day-Lewis has to be at the wheel the whole time. But while he's at the wheel, he decides he's going to, you know, immerse himself with this accent, and he's going to, in each scene, pursue what Lincoln was pursuing because he's come to intellectually and emotionally understand what he regards as probably Lincoln's point of view. He's decided to make it his own point of view. And then as authentically as he can, in the first person, he makes his points, his arguments, and, you know, does whatever the scene asks for, and certainly whatever Mr. Spielberg is asking for. What I'm trying to say is this romantic notion, you see, it really is like trying to, you know, ride a unicorn. And it screws actors up, just like it screwed up and messed with this fellow that I was speaking to, because, of course, he was sitting in the outer office thinking he needed to get into character. And I'm sure for him what that meant is, or was, that you know, he would suddenly be able to feel what his character was feeling, or that he would suddenly care about what his character was caring about, or feel the loss of his wife as the character would. And he would have kind of an immersion where he would suddenly feel like Ricky Drake or whoever when he walked in the room. This is like, you know, it's like looking for Bigfoot. This is the stuff that messes with actors' heads. Because there is a romantic notion out there that that's what happens, or that's what you're supposed to do, or if you were a real, you know, kung fu master of the black art of acting, that you could, and suddenly you would be the character, and then you would just let the character take over, because he knows his shit better than you do. Wake up. Would you just wake up, please? Please don't think like that. See, that's what's keeping you just kind of spinning your wheels in the deep mud. You're not going to get anywhere with that bullshit. Nowhere. You're not going to get anywhere. You know, you're waiting for some sort of, I don't know what, you know, inspiration character train to come by to pick you up and take you where you're going. Man. You're counting on a lot of things to happen for you. Life would be so cumbersome and complicated, and it would take way longer. No, luckily in life, you see, we just do things. We just decide things. We're, you know, we're not in similar quandaries. I don't get up in the morning and think, okay, got to get into the Jeff character. Okay, here we go, Jeff. Come on, Jeff. Let's go. You know, and then I hope I'm going to be in the Jeff character. And then throughout the day, I'm not really in the Jeff character. No, you know what happens is I do things during the day, you see, and the Jeff character ends up being the sum total of what I do and say, not what I think. And it's what I do and say. And I have an image of what I think the Jeff character is. I know there is this character that I kind of wish Jeff was. But then Jeff does dumb things. He says, I don't know, odd things, inappropriate things sometimes. He means to be funny and then he's not. And then I think, I wish that wasn't the Jeff character. But it is. Why? Because I did it. Ergo, that becomes a part of my character. Whatever I do. I wish I could say that my character is ruling me, but I would be dishonest. Because I'm the one that made those choices. I'm the one that did that stuff. I'm the one that decided to go that way with the gag or this way with the emotion. I'm the one that decided those things. And then people that witness these moments, you know, that's their impression of the Jeff character. That's how it works. It's not the other way around. You're not a zombie, right? I mean, you're not like taken over or somebody else's, my character. No, not at all. So how do we do character? Well, like I've said in many of these podcasts, and, you know, I've said time and time again this, that I need to say time and time again, coming at it from a different angle, these basic ideas about acting and the basic myths that need to be dispelled. And I'll come at it from all different angles because I know from having been a teacher for so many years that, you know, on a given night, you say it a certain way and you come at it this way and then a whole bunch of more lights go on in people's heads. And then on another night, you know, these lights go on. I mean, that's just how it works. And so it bears repeating. But we've got to stop this, you see, because we're constantly, as actors, then have our thumb out like we're hitchhiking. And we're hoping that this thing, this vehicle, will pick us up and take us where we need to go. And that's a very, very weak way of working. So what is your character? What? Let's decide. What is it? He's got a little accent because he's supposed to be from there and not from here. Okay, do you do the accent well? No, we'll get really good at it because, you know, if you're going to do the accent, then you should be able to do it at the corner and no one should know. They shouldn't say, are you an actor? So if you can do the accent, you got that. And if you can do the accent that well, then you know it's not just the accent. It's a whole meter. It's the whole tempo of the person. It's attitude. It's so many things. And it's not like you list it out. It's just that if you know what I'm talking about, when you've been around certain people with certain accents, it's more than just the consonants and vowels. Okay, so I think you get what I'm saying. So let's say you're good at this. And it's necessary, and you decide to incorporate it. Okay, well, so you're going to go to the corner now, let's say, and see if you can really fool some people. Ask for some directions, and just see if it seems to pass muster. Are you getting into character? No. You're using an accent, and you're trying to fool people. You're trying to authentically fool people. That's what you're doing. Okay, so here's the deal. Now I want you to do the accent, go to the corner, but you have to say, listen, my wife was just hijacked, or if you're a woman, you're listening, my husband was just hijacked in a car. There were two men, one in the back seat, one sitting in the passenger seat. They had guns. Did you see a white Volvo go by here at high speed, you know, 10 minutes ago? And with the accent. Are you getting into character? Is that what you're thinking about, getting into character? No, I don't think so. Let me bring back that rule I like to bring where I'll give you a ton of money if you can pull it off, okay? So that, you know, because I keep saying it, but it's so true if you think about it. If I offer you $1 million tax-free to do something like this, I immediately buy your trepidation, your self-doubt, your lack of confidence, all those things I pay for, I just buy immediately. And if you think about it for 1 second, you know what I'm talking about. Whatever I ask you to do, some acting thing like this, if you know there's $1 million cash, it doesn't mean that you're going to get it. You're going to be perfect. But it does mean that as soon as you hear that, what you're telling yourself is, let's go. Where is it? What's the corner? Who are the people? Did you say white Volvo? Let's do it. I mean, that's all there is. Of course. And so you do it. You're not there going, oh, I hope, I wish, oh, what's my character? That's not what you do, is it? No, you do it with robust. It's you attack this thing, man, like crazy, right? You commit. So let's say you could do the accent, and let's say that, you know, you understand how to tell a story. So you go down to the corner, you do that. On the way down to the corner, you weren't thinking, I want to get in the character, right? Okay, let's say you got to do the accent. I'm sending you into a bar and, you know, whatever. You're a kingpin of some sort of drugs. You're a meth dealer. You're whatever I tell you to do, and I tell you to go in there and, you know, again, convince these three people I'm going to send you in. And, you know, I'll give you some kind of crazy story, and I'll make it insane. And you never think about getting in the character. You never do. The way that you win the $1 million is that you really put your mind on simply what it is you're saying. You kind of intellectually get really quickly, and you get it, you know, oh, okay, my wife, my husband, kidnapped. And there's a thing that occurs, right? You don't have to do anything. You just understand the idea, loved one gone, guns, car. You know, I mean, you know what that means. Just like you know what it means when you read a story about some lady and then her husband, or you see it on TV on the news, or someone tells you about it, and it's a real story and it's horrific what occurred. You don't sit there like some sociopath going, I don't care what, I don't know nothing, I want a donut. You know, that's not what you do. You sit there and you listen and you think, ah, wow, and it like kicks you in the chest and you think, oh my God, and you can kind of feel the fear for a moment and whatever, all the time. So what is it we're trying to do, trying to get into, hoping it'll happen? Why do we have our thumb out? Why are we looking for a ride? Like, well, we're hoping something will pick us up and transport us to where we need to be. Why are we going to do that? I don't get that part of this whole acting thing. And that's what most of it's about, you see. That's how they make it sexy, is they make it seem like you got to get into this, like, place, man, this, like, acting utopian, so we are going to relax and we're going to just drain our brain, man, just let it flow out of our ears like liquid, and then not move a muscle, and then start to then become the character. I get it, man. It sounds so fun. It sounds so sci-fi and, you know, like some kind of almost, I don't know, like superhero Marvel, you know, actor. But he's an actor. It's just stupid, man. It's so silly. It's so, you know, witch doctory. It's like, what? Stop. These are the problems with acting. The premise of, you know, I'm going to try to become this thing. I'm going to try and do this thing. I'm try. That's the first problem right there, because you've got to constantly be sitting there at guard wondering, okay, has my character come? Is my character here? Oh, stop thinking about it. Oh, I'm out of character. I started thinking about it too much. Okay, Alana, back in character. Oh, I'm out of character. You know, I mean, come on, man. I can't hire actors like that. It's willy-nilly shit. Are you kidding? I say it again and again. Lines and situation dictate character. If you start talking about the thing and you start doing something in a scene, we assume that's who you are. You want to add an accent or whatever, sure. But a lot of times, you know, things are written in a certain way that just give it a particular cadence almost, or the director and the other actors, or the rhythms of the lines, or the way they're written short, or they're overwritten, you know, lots of flowery language. I mean, these things, if you just embrace them and authentically use these words, will usually, most often, let us know so much about who you are. I mean, if you think about it and you just go through your life, think about all the people, all the different people you've met, all the different situations you've seen, all the stories you've told about people. Are there all sorts of like a, you know, like a cacophony of different accents, all like, you know, the United Nations of accents? Yeah, I recall stories and there was someone and it was a very distinct character. But primarily what I remember about people that have told me what they've done, the crazy things they've done, the odd things, the bizarre things, that I can't believe this person is saying that stuff. It was never so much their attitude or the way they walked or, you know, some accent or crazy rhythm or some nutty outfit. it was really just what they said. It was what their concerns were. It's what took up their day. It's what they were preoccupied with. It's what the basis of their argument was or what they wanted. That's what made them distinct to me. That's what gave them their color and their attitude and their particular character. That's what did it. It's not like there are all these people, you know, like from Casting Central. Yeah, and he had a hat on, and he kind of talked fast, and he was a bit of a shady character. You know, they weren't like that. There was like this guy I knew, and then he was a nice guy in the world, but then he ended up being a cheat, and then I come to find out that everything he said was bullshit. It was a lie. And then, you know, other things. This doctor I thought was really smart, and then he started making grammatical errors one after another, and I thought, oh, okay, something is weird here. There's no way this guy's had any education. He can't be a doctor. There's no way this guy's a doctor. There's no way this guy went to school. What, you know, that's usually what did it. So this is how lines and situation dictate character. We, from that, decide who these characters are. You know, a woman just keeps talking about, you know, some aspect of her life, her ex, her sex life, food, her weight, some crazy ambition she has, some magnificent thing she did, some incredible mountain she climbed. So, and it's these stories that make us determine who we're talking to and the authenticity in the story, of course, because if the stories are told like they're just lies, then most of what we ascertain from the moment is, oh, this person's a liar, and they just, it's more of just a big fuzzy gray area. You know, it's like, I don't know what to make, which is what a lot of bad acting is, of course. These are the things that create character. And so today is about an idea that is, all we really ever need to focus on is what our character's concerns are, what their point of view is, you know, what is the argument, what is the point we're trying to make, what are we trying to win, what are we afraid of losing. And we come to understand it in the most simple, humanistic way possible. Just get it, but really get it. You have to quit looking for your character. You've got to stop trying to feel things or waiting for, you know, the anger to come or waiting for some sort of honest emotion to kind of bubble up from inside you. You have to stop making lists of things that you think will then get you in the right headspace or make you feel as jealous as you need to be or as angry or as sad or as glad. You've got to stop looking for permission. All of this stuff is a very weak way of working, and it's bound to collapse in on itself. And at that moment when you're feeling most insecure, most nervous, it'll all go out the window. I'll tell you what is less likely to go out the window. You just simply latching onto a point of view, a point you need to make, some information you need to find, a situation that you need to shed some light on, a story that you need to tell for specific reasons. You latch onto that. That is your express purpose right there. That is what you need to do more than anything. To entertain this person, to get the truth from this girl that you're speaking to, you decide that that is the thing that you need to do more than anything. You're not hoping some character is going to enter your body. You're not hoping that you'll feel the anger at this moment or anything else. No, you just get to the business at hand, and what you will find out is that all those other things that you were concerned with will suddenly be there, because that's how it works in life, you see? See, I want to make a point with you. You've irritated me, so I want to make a point with you, and I want to make sure you get it, and I want to make sure you understand it irritated me. And what happens is this magnificent thing. Suddenly, oh, you fully get I'm irritated. Why? Because that's how my machine works. It's right there for me. It backs me up totally. It's always there for me. I look at something intellectually. I don't like it. I'm mad. I'm glad. I'm jealous. I'm sad. Whatever it is. And my thing is there for me. I don't sit and wait. Oh, feel sad. Okay, feel sad. No, I decide. That's sad. I don't like that. That hurts me. That's a bad thing that occurred. That's a great thing that occurred. I just decide in that moment and I go with it. And my whole system backs me up the way it needs to. That's how you get to it. You don't ask permission. You don't hope and cross your fingers behind your back that when they say action, you know, the acting God will enter your body. No, that's not how it works. You got some business at hand, go deal with it. And if you need to do it with an accent. Right? All right. I hope you're enjoying these as much as I am. Thanks for listening. You have been listening to a Real Life Actor podcast. This is Jeff Seymour. Real Life Actor podcasts can now be found on Spotify, iTunes, and Podomatic. Please tell your friends. And if you're in the Los Angeles area and you'd like to audit one of my classes, send me an email at jeff@reallifeactor.com. Thanks for listening.